Morris Chambers, Kings of Leon on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington. And, England are world champions again then, so.
Oh, it's brilliant.
It was amazing, wasn't it? See, I'm not a rugby man at all. I never watch rugby. I think the last time, I think, was when we won about 12 years ago, whenever it was. And I got into it last week because I realised we were doing so well. I'll watch England win anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I don't care what. In fact, I wasn't into war when I was little until I realised we were so bloody good
at it. We are really good at it.
It, you know, it's brilliant. But, oh yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, it was great.
Right, that's the rugby thing over.
That's
what next?
With.
That's it. That's all I've got. That's all I had today.
It does steamy. Sometimes I watch it and it does remind me of when I play rugby, because like, one of them will boot it down the field, and then someone will catch it and boot it straight back again.
Yeah.
Which is essentially how we
play rugby. I was made to play
rugby,
we had to play rugby.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'd get rid of the ball so quickly.
Yeah.
I don't think I ever got tackled or fell over.
Yeah.
I think I touched the ball about 20 times in the 2 years it was compulsory.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was terrified.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, same as cricket. I can't. I'm a terrible batsman. I'm all right at bowling, but it seemed like the pastime for people I went to school was to injure you.
Yes.
It was funny to see someone polax. It was funny to see someone get a cricket ball in the head.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know.
I never relaxed into rugby because the first day I was going to play it, my mum, I swear to God, my mother said, "Oh, you're playing rugby today. You got the kit and everything. Enjoy it. Be careful. There was a kid at my school who got who broke his neck."
And
thanks very much for that.
See you later.
So I just went to school absolutely.
Man, one thing, broken neck, is that what, do you get better in a couple of days? Oh,
no, can find a wheelchair.
No. Enjoy the game though.
Yeah, no, it was. It was absolutely I was just petrified from that day.
See, at least American football, you know,
got the
helmets.
Padding, the helmets.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, no injuries, thank God.
Thank goodness.
Well,
I tried to play rugby, but it's awkward when you've got glasses. I don't know, there's something about
you. You didn't really play with glasses on.
Yeah, of course, I couldn't see anything, could I? I couldn't see anything. How else was I going to play?
Oh my God. And
so you're bound to be cautious, because inevitably you're a bit more cautious when you've got glass next to your face.
But you're the tallest person on the pitch as well.
Yeah.
I mean, you were, when you were about 14, you were probably 6 foot already, weren't you?
Yeah.
And everyone else was, what, 5'2"?
Yeah.
So you were
towering above them.
And with glasses
just
on.
Just with the glasses on.
And you've got pretty cool glasses now.
That's very
had a bit of a makeover. It's like Trini and Suzanne said, first thing to go, the glasses.
Sure, sort them out, yeah.
Yeah. And presumably you used to have those National Health sort of bottles.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Is it true you've never been able to mosh?
Because I've always watched people stage dive in, moshing at concerts. I've always thought that looks like brilliant. You know, when they ride above
like
everyone's
wave,
heads.
Like they're surfing across
on someone's
hands. Amazing.
So everyone's like, And I've always wanted to do that because I'm a big rock music fan. And the only time I did mosh was at Rage Against the Machine. I tried to mosh at Rage Against the Machine.
I love the idea of a band called Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah.
Aimed at a man with glasses who won't mosh.
Well, it was at the Reading Festival, and I think the lead singer, I forget his name, he went, can I just remind everyone that racism and fascism are on the rise in Europe again. Let's not let it happen.
What did you do?
And we all cheered, obviously. I mean, if there's one thing that guarantees a cheer at Reading Festival, it's dang with fascism.
And what did they do about it after the concert?
Went
home and had a cup of tea?
Probably, I don't know what they got.
They didn't go to Europe then and try
and
stop.
I don't think they got involved politically in Europe. I think they just continued to rage.
Against the machine?
Yeah, but largely in America, I think.
Sure,
but I tried to mosh, and I got moshing, and glasses flew off. And I went, I remember, because we were playing away, you know, do what you tell me, and I was just going, careful, I've dropped my glasses, can we be careful?
Loads of kids in hooded tops, just going mental.
Yeah, and they're all jumping up, so I was like, can we just calm down for a second?
Silly.
Yeah. It was absurd, and I had to kind of, you know, scrabble around on the floor, and thankfully they were okay, and they didn't get broken.
So what couldn't you do then?
What do you mean, what couldn't I do?
Well, at school, can you not see without glasses?
No.
I mean, it's like that you couldn't do anything.
It's a blur.
Really?
Yeah, it's a blur, definitely.
God.
Yeah, it's like being kind of punch drunk or whatever. So yeah, you can't play sports when when you've got glasses.
But why not contact lenses? Because they're not strong enough.
No, they seemed a bit fiddly.
Oh, brilliant! Bit of Lou Reed.
Is that what you want?
Yeah, Satellite of Love. Classic. A retro cut. Lou Reed. With a little help from David Bowie there in the background. Satellite of Love on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Stephen Merchant and Carl Pilkington. Now, Steve, you know how Carl won't do anything outside his jurisdiction. He moans about stuff. He's got one job. We're doing about five things in the week. We just turn up and he's always available. He moans about it. He goes, oh, lucky you caught me, right? He's chatting. He's one of those people that, whinges enough and people think he's overworked. So yeah. He got Mondays off, right? He's just a whinger. Yeah.
I haven't got Mondays off though, have I?
Yeah, well, anyway. 2 hours on a Saturday. This is what the phone message he left me Wednesday on my mobile. But he's chatting about certain things that are going on at the moment. What he does need to know. Oh, Duncan, who mentions, is my agent. And, you know, you understand a few other things. But this is the sort of message I get from Carl, right? Whinger.
Old messages.
Alright. 12:10. Wednesday. Just getting loads of f***ing people calling me all the time about s***. Yesterday, DVDs signing for BBC London. I don't work there, but I've been dragged into that. I've got a woman on, leaving a message from Talk PR going on about, do you want to go and see Pop Idol again? Right? Just saying, you and some listeners can go. So I'm sure you'll love that. I've got Jim Benner wanting you to introduce the tin buckets at the Astoria. So can you just like let Duncan know that I'm doing his job whilst he's sat on his arse with his thumb firmly up his arse? Can you let him know that I'm running around like a c**t here sorting shit out for you? Alright, see you later.
Message left. So
do you know what I mean?
I know, but that's the kind of phone message he's leaving. Do you remember who he was before you?
But he's even annoyed that he gets a phone call. I remember he got a phone call for you to do a voiceover and didn't pass it on. You missed a voiceover. That was thousands of pounds.
No, I did pass it on though. I told you.
You said someone had phoned.
Yeah.
That's not good enough.
But who's that?
Well, she didn't say, and I didn't ask. But
of course she said.
She didn't say.
Rubbish.
So you didn't take the number down. Just when she went, oh, can you tell Steve to call me? And you went, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just thought you'd know her already. I should have known, it was a woman, so I should have known.
He's having a go, you see?
Unbelievable. I don't know how it's gone back on me, you're the one who was picking on it.
Yeah, exactly, I'm saying. I'm defending, why is he having a go
but
at you?
He never picks on Ricky, because he knows you are his bread and butter. Seriously, you know what I mean? The only reason he's got Mondays off is because you're still doing this show.
Yeah.
That's why he's scared of you, that's why he's like, he has a go at you on the phone, but he always picks on me, because he knows, you know, I'm a pushover, I'm a nice guy. He's scared of you. I can't believe I don't know how it works.
Is that true?
Steve, I'm always sorting you out. I look after you.
What do you mean you're sorting out tickets and lager? What's this?
Right, whenever you want tickets.
Yeah.
I don't want to use this as like moaning time and that because I don't like to moan. I'm busy and that, right? I've sorted you out tickets for gigs.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, somebody doesn't even turn up to.
Yeah. We won't even go on about that. Yeah. Right. Lager.
You've got sorting out the Cure. He complained it was boring.
Yeah. It was that big drum of lager that you had, and you said, oh, put that in your room for me, because I don't want to carry it home, right?
Lazy.
So I said, all right, then I'll put it in my room. It goes missing, it gets nicked. Then you have a go at me because it got nicked.
Yeah.
I get you another one, you make me carry it around town for you for half an hour, then you say, oh, I can't be bothered taking it home, can you take it back to work for me?
Yeah. But, interestingly, this is like a year ago, so it's still pressing on you.
Oh, hang on, and I forgot the one when we had an argument over 50p.
Yeah, you didn't want to give me 50p back that you owed me.
That was the same day you'd given him about 40 quid worth of lager.
But, see, this is my problem, this was my point at the time. It's not the 50p in terms of money is not what's important. The fact that you think you don't have to give me money back because it's only 50p, that was the point at stake. Mm. It's me who makes a decision, oh, don't worry about the 50p, not you, it's only 50p, I'm not going to give it to you. Do you know what I mean? There's got to be rules, otherwise it's chaos, Carl. Come on, mate. Alright?
I don't want to fall out about
it. No, it's not right. Should we kiss and make up? Do you want that?
Well, should we play a little record and come back to this, because...
I can't believe it started with you slagging him off, Rick, and I've ended up...
I know.
...as the monster.
I know.
Bit of R.E.M.
Yeah. R.E.M. and Animal. Animals would be... R.E.M. and their animals.
What are you talking about?
Well, no, I'm just thinking. I wonder if there's another video for animals and the animal.
What?
On a DVD, an animals DVD. Huh?
what are you talking about?
It's R.E.M. there. It's just a good link. R.E.M. animals. on a DVD would be. I've got an animals DVD out.
My DVD,
my DVD, my live stand-up's out. Buy it, HMV and Virgin.
Well, no,
I'm just saying.
Animals, your,
yeah, no, it's funny.
I think you should plug your stand-up.
No, I'm not plugging it. It came up in the Animals from REM. Came
I don't think you should plug your DVD.
Well, buy it now. It's a really good stand-up DVD.
If you're going to buy anything, I think I ought to balance this out. Really, if you're going to buy a DVD, you should probably buy The Office series too, because I get money for that.
That's been on telly. Animals. See, Animals hasn't been on telly. The Office has been on telly. It's bored with it.
But I don't get any money for the Animals
DVD. That's what I mean. I get everything from Animals, whereas I've got to share The Office, where it was with you and some of the other actors, whereas I get the whole, the lion's share, lion's an animal, the lion's share of Animals. It's all mine, you see.
Mm.
So,
the truth of it is that it's not, it's your stand-up and it's not great. It's a bit weak.
My
a lot of the observations
nor's my
are quite
or
poor.
Writing. No.
You're a great actor.
I'm rubbish in The Office. One trick pony.
Well,
I just touch my tie, and I look at the camera, bored with that.
Yeah.
Animals, whole new side.
Yeah. But 15, frankly, you've been
15
doing-
15 quid.
You've been doing so much publicity on TV that, if people have seen it all, they'll have probably seen all the best clips.
There's
only a couple of decent gags.
It's only really the dance, and you can get that on a JPEG, so-
Some other great stuff
don't
in
Don't buy
there.
The Office.
There's some other great stuff in there.
No, Phoenix Nights is better than The Office. So buy Phoenix Nights, don't buy The Office. Okay?
What?
Right, let's get on with it. That's that. Right, what else is that?
You've probably heard most of the stand-up observations on this show, so.
Right, what have you got for us? Available in HMV. Go on.
Oh, well. I'm annoyed. Office. I was walking, away from the show last week. I was walking towards Berwick Street. I like to look at the records and the record shops. And I was on my mobile phone, and I was chatting away to someone, and, what can only be described as a prostitute.
Go on.
Stood on the street
corner. Was she a woman that gives you sex for money?
Yes.
That is a prostitute.
Yes, that's what I thought.
Go on.
And as I was walking by, she said, do you want to buy sex? Now,
are you sure it wasn't a market trader giving six plums away?
No, it was definitely.
Sex for a quid?
No, it was definitely a prostitute.
Yeah.
And what annoyed me about it, what I wanted to pick her up on something, was the fact that I was on my mobile phone. It's like,
so
can you imagine?
She was rude.
Who would what, am I going to hang up? Sorry, Mum, can I call you back?
You know
you say you want me to meet more women.
And you know you sent me that 30 quid
exactly.
for my birthday.
Yeah. Sorry, Mr. Johnson, I'm really excited about the job. Can I call you back? I'm just gonna negotiate with a whore. And it was just you could tell that she was clearly probably desperate for crack or a latest fix or smack. So she was literally, the normal etiquette of prostitution, that they hang around, they show some thigh. I've seen this in
they
films.
They will woo ya.
Yeah,
they
exactly.
Yeah.
Take you out for a meal, that
I know,
sort of thing. That had sort of gone out of the window and she was just there, desperate, running around
Did
the
Did she go out of a window?
Like
because that's another thing they sometimes do, specialist
exactly.
ones.
But I was shocked because I've never been propositioned before like that.
Really?
In London.
It's weird, isn't it? Carl, thoughts?
I think you'd be sort of approached a lot because they tend to sort of go for people who look like they haven't got much chance.
Sure.
And I'm not being mean.
No.
Sorry, I'll let you get back to it. In what way aren't you being mean? By saying that
Steve knows is a little bit odd looking.
I don't think. Well.
No, he does. Do you know?
Yeah,
before...
No, but it's not whether what he thinks of his looks, it's what he thinks of you. Talking about his looks on
no, but it's like how you were talking before about your eyes are bad. It's nature's little way of saying, look, nothing to see here, right?
I don't get that.
I don't know what you mean.
But when you look in the mirror and that, they've gone, look, he hasn't got the looks. Let's make his eyes bad, right?
Yeah.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. See, balancing it out, right?
Yeah.
And it's funny, right? Now we're on the topic.
Sorry, right, Johnny Depp.
Well, listen, but.
My chest is gonna burst at this
but
moment.
Whenever we go into this conversation, I always think to myself, Carl, do you know what you look like?
I'm gonna burst.
Seriously, can I be honest with you? You look like, if you've got like a balloon, a hot air balloon, right? Just a little balloon, like a party balloon. If you drew a little face on it, right, and inflated it about halfway, that's what you look like.
Right.
So. No, play a record. No, I don't want to get into this.
Now you've got onto this. Let's just nip it in the bud. Now I'll tell you something that I wasn't going to tell you because I think
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Right, it was on the tube. Right, well, someone told me they were on the tube. Mm. Right, and the tube pulled into a station. Right, and one of the women saw the poster that's out at the moment with you and Rick on it. Right.
Yeah.
So this woman apparently goes, oh look, there's Ricky. Ricky's on the radio. Right. And the other woman goes, "Oh yeah, don't you listen to it?" So she goes, "Oh, I didn't know it was on the radio." And she goes, "Oh."
Sorry, Steve.
Look,
I'm sorry.
Look
at because he didn't look sound this bad.
She said, "Oh, look at that. Look at that person he's with." So she goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah." She said, "That's Steve." She said, "I'm kind of, I was sort of aware that he looked odd because Carl mentions it on the radio."
Yeah.
So it wasn't as much of a blow to me, but I can see how it was a bit of a shock to you.
Yeah.
So, that's weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that isn't me sort of telling this woman to say anything. That was all happened without anybody else sort of bringing it on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Was it? Sorry, you seem to be relishing this. Was it because of the little balloon story that made you?
I honestly, Steve, I wouldn't have told you, but if you're gonna start, you know, having a pop.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I can't just sit here and take sure. it and that.
No, no.
I mean. Yeah. All mates.
Yeah, it's just,
yeah. Well, I mean, I was mistaken for Johnny Vegas. Steve's got a story about that, if you wanna. Have a go at me.
Well, you'd know someone just thought you were fat with a beard, which is true.
Well, don't have a go at me because he said you looked.
No, you started it.
No, I didn't. Yeah, no, I didn't.
You were milking it. You were egging him on.
I was laughing.
You were egging him on.
I sort of was.
Yeah.
But let's not, you know.
Oh, it's a good job you've got lots of good mates like Jonathan Ross who you can go and hang out with. You don't need other friends, people who've helped you in your career.
He's a good looking bloke, isn't he, Jonathan Ross?
He's a good looking fella.
Player of Out of Time by Blur. Luckily, we're not out of time. We've got another hour and 25 to go. So it's not over yet on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington.
We've had quite a lot of emails, as ever, Ricky. I should just say, because you know we're very lazy.
It's a much listened to show.
We're very lazy people and we rarely reply or read out the emails, but we do
never read the emails.
Absolutely.
So
never
I rely, if I haven't replied to them, all my mail, Steve opens my mail and reads my emails. So if I haven't replied, it's just because he hasn't passed it on to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I haven't passed it on to you because I know you'll never reply.
Sure.
So, you know, I'm just cutting out that. But I just want to say thanks for the emails. We do read some of them and we do appreciate the fact people send in jokes.
Oh, I appreciate it. I love it.
But,
we don't have to do anything towards it.
Sure, we had an email from Jack. He just said he missed the last 2 weeks' shows. Has he missed anything?
Not really.
No.
No, it's the same stuff.
Same you missed rubbish.
I think Carl, last week Carl was having a go at, Chinese people not aging well. He had a go at the gays, and he came up with a ludicrous story about a monkey that was impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think Jack's missed much.
No.
Go on.
No. We've just had an email from the Pringles people.
Oh, they, right. Good, because it's finally started to happen. I hear these stories about people getting given cars and Armani suits and trips abroad, and we haven't had enough, but finally, people are starting to, you know, realise what we're doing, our impact on society,
yeah.
And we've got a whole box of Pringles sent to us. Not on those little tubes, the proper tubes, the foot-long tubes.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I, you know, well, what have they said?
Well, the Pringles
they
guys
want
have
them
said,
back.
No, 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 they said, they like the show, and if you want more Pringles, give them a call and they'll send you
more Pringles.
Yeah.
I bloody love Pringles.
Yeah.
Pringles are the thing about Pringles is, they're Moorish, right?
Yeah.
But, how would I put it? You know the sort of thing, when you open, when I open them.
Yeah.
And by that, when I pop.
Right.
Yeah. I have to eat the, okay, how can I put this? When I pop, I can't stop.
What do you mean? I don't.
Well, when I pop them open, I can't stop eating them open.
Right, when you pop, you can't stop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's because of the chemicals. I think that might be the reason.
But they're good chemicals.
They're good chemicals. They're the best chemicals.
Pringle chemicals.
They're not bad chemicals.
Lovely.
Like you're using chemical
so
water.
Yes, I want some more Pringles.
Yeah,
what
so
else
more,
do they
more
do?
Pringles. It's interesting, actually, you were saying that, like, other people, you know, like Kylie, I imagine, would get given sort of maybe sexy underwear. You got Robbie Williams where he gets the Armani suits. You get sent the crisps.
Yeah!
Which seems appropriate, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but it's nice to be sent, anyway, isn't it? Go on.
Talking of Pringles, on the Finchley Road tube station, on the way in,
there's a lot of Pringles there, isn't
there? Well, I'll tell you a job I don't like.
What?
I wouldn't want to be doing. The woman, there's a little woman who sits in the little snack stall on Finchley Road. Station,
yeah.
And I don't know how to describe it, really. She is surrounded by snacks. She can't move for snacks.
It's a little like American Beauty, but with different.
Not dissimilar to that.
Yeah.
It's a little hut on the station.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you go to the seaside, you can put your head through one of those cardboard cutouts and it looks like you're a big fat person or whatever and you can have your photo taken. It's like an equivalent of that, but it's just snacks everywhere. She's got bananas up to her chin. She's got chocolate coming down from her eyes, crisps either side of her. She can't move. She can't do 360 degrees. She's like packed in there. I don't know how she gets in there.
I think
morning.
They put her in her first, and they pour in the bananas.
Yeah.
They pour in the nuts.
She has 2 hours of makeup before.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Dressing her in there. Because I'll ask for something from the fridge, and she cannot turn her head to see. She has to go by feel alone, just to feel the fridge and get stuff out and pass it. And often I'll say, that's not what I wanted, but she can't. You've got to let her off. It's extraordinary. But there's no music playing.
Does she have to sell her way out of it?
Exactly.
If it's a slow day, she's stuck there till the next day.
Yeah, it's like a world-breaking attempt.
Yeah. Oh, dear. That's Finchley Road, so if you...
If you're on Finchley Road or just want to pop down there, have a look at the snack woman, because it is, it's
how does she get refills, though?
I don't know how it works. I don't know how she goes to the toilet or eats. I don't know what she does.
Yeah.
But God bless her.
That's one of the jobs you wouldn't
that's
have.
That's jobs I would not like.
I've always worried about working in one of those big photocopying places.
Sure.
Because it's that constant taste of toner.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's so dry and I just imagine going to work with a hangover.
Yeah.
8 hours in that sort of environment.
I think it's those jobs where what's the best that can happen? That day, do you know what I mean? The photocopying shop. What's the best?
Well, they probably have interesting things, like they, you know, people going in and photocopying
porno mags.
Can I have 30 copies of my ass?
Right, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I couldn't make it to the staff party.
Yeah, but
I wonder if I could do that in here.
Yeah.
Carl, what job wouldn't you want to do? Well, any job. You're a lazy.
You're joking, aren't you? I've done loads of stuff. I'm quite happy now doing what I'm doing.
Yeah, look happy.
I think I sound happy.
Yeah, I mean, calm down. You on drugs?
I'm all right.
Are you on E?
Happy before. England have won and that. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, go on. Happy for them.
I'm happy in that.
Yeah. What do you mean happy for them? We are England. Happy for us.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't play. I did very little towards it.
No.
It was mainly Johnny Wilkinson.
Yeah, I barely contributed. Switching on the TV was about as much as I did.
Exactly. And shouting, "Come on!"
Yeah.
Talking about jobs and that, though, I was reading the other day about like, you know, rubbish jobs that people have had and stuff.
I haven't got time when I work one. I just get on with it. I'm not squiddly diddly. Fingers in pies, different jobs. Go on.
Do you know Ivor the Terrible?
Ivan.
His
Russian. Yeah, that was the Welsh fella. It was bloody awful, but not as bad as his Russian cousin, Ivan. Yeah. Go on.
He had a fella doing some work for him. Right. Yeah. This fella built his house. After it was done, right, the terrible fella was like,
fella Ivan.
He was going, oh, it's brilliant, you've done a good job there.
Yeah.
I don't want you to build another one like that. Took his eyes out. Just stopped him making an house like that. Again.
Blimey.
That's bad, isn't it?
Why didn't he take away his trowel? Then he could have seen that he couldn't have built a house without a trowel. You can't build a house without a trowel.
Yeah.
I suppose he probably later thought that, once he'd been nicknamed Ivan the Terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
He thought, why? Because you gouge people's eyes out.
Yeah, but I didn't want to build another house.
I know, but...
Take his trowel away. What would I have been then? Well, Ivan the Crafty, at most.
Exactly, yeah.
Ivan the Jealous, you know, Ivan the Spoiled Brat, but...
Yeah.
Ivan the Terrible, that is bloody terrible. I'm surprised you're not called Ivan the... Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You're going to get on in history like with Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
He's mainly remembered for impaling people.
Yeah. He did a lot of other stuff.
He did a load of great charity work he did.
The impaling is the thing that's really gone down in history. When were you reading about Ivan the Terrible?
No, it's just
or Ivan the Terrible is the thing you remembered from this informative article.
No, it was just little bits like that. Talking about him, there was a thing about someone who worked for that fella who painted the ceiling.
Sistine Chapel.
Yeah. There's a thing, a woman who worked for him in his house. And,
I love how you assimilate information when it's just bordering on the academic or just the interesting and true. It's wonderful. Ivor the Terrible gouged someone's eyes out because built him an house. That fella who painted that ceiling had a woman work for him. Imagine if you wrote that down in an essay. Imagine if you wrote that in a school essay.
Well, you probably end up with not getting a grade or...
Yeah, or thinking you turned up to more than you had.
Exactly. Anyway,
the woman who lived in a shoe. Go on.
Yeah, there's this woman who lived with him and, she used to, like, you know, go out and do all this shopping and that.
Yeah.
But because she couldn't read or write, he used to have to draw everything that he wanted.
Why couldn't he just tell her?
I don't know.
No, wait. That's an excellent point. Could she talk?
Yeah, but if it's a big list and that, loads of different coloured paints.
But why couldn't she draw? draw on a piece of paper. Why did he have to do it?
Because he's a better drawer, isn't he?
That's the point. That's it. That is, we were just looking for the logic of the story. You found it.
You've done it. Play a record. He's a better drawer. I Don't Owe You Anything by The Smiths on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington. Carl, over to you. This is the time where we play, well, the world famous quiz, isn't it?
Rockbusters, isn't it?
Yeah. Which is Blockbusters but with music. See you later.
Cryptic clues and that. Do you want to say
not
Steve,
really, not Steve? Really cryptic, but go
on. We've got a number of DVDs to give away, including some teachers' DVDs. We've got a bunch of CDs here, and also Ricky Gervais' live stand-up DVD,
Animals,
which is not good at all. I really would not encourage people to buy that. It is weak observations, poorly performed. I would recommend The Office Series 2 on DVD.
Rubbish in that. I'm awful in that. You can actually see me forgetting some of my lines.
That's true.
Go on.
Right then, so cryptic clues, just an example, might be new, I reckon. People will be staying in today because it's raining and that, so might not have heard it before. Yeah. So, like,
or they have and they're not listening.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Oh, good. You gave up on that, did you?
Three.
Well, give us an example of the sort of thing.
Jeez.
All right, maybe don't. Listen, don't say that long.
Yeah. I'm a broadcaster.
Yeah, words are my tool.
Go on.
All right, forget that.
Come on, Baldy.
Right, three clues then. Here's the first one. It's a band or an artist.
Yeah.
Right. I'm going to the northeast. What are you going there for?
Good point. Good question.
Right.
Well, so, yeah, if it had been why you're going to the northwest, that's a different matter. Go
on. Going to the northeast. What are you going there for? Right.
Yeah.
S is the initial, so it's a band or an artist who's it starts with an S, and that's the clue. Right. Second one. She's related to the man in the lamp. Right. That's G. Right, she's related to the man in the lamp. Right, and the third one is the Jamaican fella would love to live there, but it's a little bit pricey.
Oh God, I feel an accent coming.
That's
on.
One way you're gonna have to think about it with the accent.
I imagine.
Initials there, DS for that one. Right, so the Jamaican fella would love to live there, but you know, a bit dear and that, a bit pricey. So.
So give us some again quickly.
Right, the first one, I'm going to the northeast. What are you going there for? That's S. She's related to the man in the lamp, you know. That's G.
Changes
and
a bit.
The Jamaican fella would love to live there, but a little bit pricey.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
That's DS, so email in or text and that.
ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk. What's
or
the text?
Or text 83XFM.
Yeah, what's
that?
Surprises. So, brilliant.
Right.
Play some ads?
Yeah.
Steve, is there anything wrong with a bit of old-fashioned rock and roll, yes or no?
I do not believe so.
Well, then there's Jet, so roll over DJ on XFM 104.9.
Who are you?
Ricky Gervais, who are you?
Steve Merchant.
Who's that little bald mank whinging twat over there?
Carl Pilkington.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Alright?
No.
Oh, go on.
Rick, as you know, there's always junk lying around in this studio, and not all of it is Rockbusters prizes.
No.
And there's I've just been
flipping through. Service the playlist.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just flipping through an old copy of the Guardian Guide from last week.
Sure.
You know, the little listings thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if people might have seen it. We did there was a documentary on this week about the transfer of British sitcoms to America.
Yeah.
And we did an interview for that because they're remaking the show over in the States. And I was just flipping through and I noticed there's a little write up about it here. And it says, and it says, quoting me, it says, "We don't care if David Brent becomes a woman," burbles Steve Merchant, eyes bulging with imagined riches. No, my eyes bulge normally. That's not me being greedy, that's
just me. You
know that
thing I did on it when I sort of like rub my fingers together and do that stupid Brent, people take that seriously.
I know.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary.
Oh, some people got it, but I think it was something in the paper the next day said Gervais's mannerisms could have been transferred as dollar signs. Well, I was really sarcastically.
Exactly.
I was doing it like that. I was pretending that I just cared about the money.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Irony. You see, people say Americans don't get irony. Most people here don't get irony.
Absolutely right.
That's why they think this show's rubbish.
Yeah. I know.
We fooled them.
Yeah.
We've had the last laugh. We think it's really good.
Exactly.
Carl, come on. Let's have some news. Let's do some proper radio. All your news comes from Ananova, doesn't it?
What would Dr. Fox do about now at 2 o'clock? He'd do some amusing news.
It's coming up for two, and here is the news with Carl Pilkington.
Well, like I said, it's just headlines and that. I don't bother reading on if I like the headlines.
And it's all from Ananova, not from a newspaper or-
It's not made up or anything. These are
okay then. Well, let's see. Okay, imagine Trevor McDonald doing this.
These are real news headlines.
Okay then. Well, they're real to Carl. Okay, here we go. And here is the news with Carl Pilkington. Bong.
Man hid in wardrobe to avoid work.
Yeah, good.
Alright.
Bong.
Teenager gets stuck in washing machine.
Bong.
Dutchman has two right feet.
Bong.
Cow hit by train lands on farmer's wife.
That is the real news to you, isn't it?
That's brilliant.
I was just thinking of the cow flying through the air!
Yeah.
And the wife going, oh no!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh dear. Dutchman has two right feet.
Yeah, he's having some operation or something and,
What, they put the wrong foot on him?
He's got two right feet or something.
Well, maybe it was only a right foot that was available.
Good dancer.
Yeah! Oh dear. Well, in real news, I was, I followed that thing with, it was that fella that got into the palace when Bush was there.
Right, an undercover journalist. Yeah.
I mean, it would have been a problem if he was a terrorist, but it's sort of like, and as the palace said, you know, all our tests are to expose terrorists, not journalists.
Yeah.
I just think it was no big deal, really.
Yeah.
It was much more bigger deal for the journalists than anyone else. Like, well, okay, well, all the journalists in the world can pop up. As long as no terrorists get in,
yeah,
we're all right.
Exactly.
Yeah. A bloke just got through a terrorist? No, an ice cream seller.
Yeah.
That's all right, then.
Who's that there waiting hand for finger? I can't believe it. It's Baz Bamingboing from the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
I think that's Gary Bushell. That's fine.
That's fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
But, it was just that he... All he did wrong, though, was just lied on his CV.
Well, I think he did.
But everyone lies on their CV.
Of course.
Everyone
gives references.
I don't think I've ever done a CV. I tried to lie. I did one once. When I was at ULU and I was an events manager, I applied for a job at Radio 1 for events manager. Didn't even get an interview.
Yeah.
So I just stopped the CV lark.
Sure.
And I just, you know.
The one knockback and that was
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but yeah. So,
You've lied on your CV, have you, Carl?
Yeah, loads.
Yeah.
It's just,
It's like something from Little Britain. Yeah, no. Yeah, loads. Yeah, go on. Come on.
There was one when, there was a job going at Granada. In fact, this isn't even lying, and I still didn't get the job.
Go
right?
on.
But, Granada.
Well, you don't get a job just because you don't lie. It's not, have you lied? No, you got the job.
Yeah.
No, but there was a, they ask you loads of stuff, don't they, that you think, oh, that's got nothing to do with the job. I don't know why you're bothering me asking me certain stuff, right?
Qualifications, things like that, yeah.
Yeah.
But, well, it was languages.
Yeah.
Right?
What did it say?
It just said, you know, put your name, put your address, languages, right? And,
What? Oh, yeah.
And
what,
I just...
What, you don't speak any other languages, do you?
Well, I just thought English, quite good.
You didn't!
No, I did. Honestly, I asked Suzanne.
I think you told me this before. Did you really put English, quite good?
Yeah. Honest to God. Didn't hear that.
Well, you know what they meant now, that you know what your error was, don't you? Are you fluent in French, German, Chinese?
Yeah, but I didn't want them to think I've got loads of big words and that. Do you know what I mean? Well, I don't use loads of big words and stuff.
No, they meant, do you speak any other languages?
It's any other languages, Carl, not the one
you're
native language.
They assume that you can speak English because you're filling out a form.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's like languages none. They assume you can speak something and they probably think it was English. And to put quite good when you are English.
Yeah.
English is your first language, yeah, I'm quite good at it. I see your point, though.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure quite good is accurate.
No. Poor. English.
Yeah, weak.
Poor. Weak! You didn't get the interview, no? What did Suzanne say when you told her you'd put that?
She just laughed. It was too late. It was too late to do anything.
How's her hair? Don't talk about it?
She's off today, so...
Is it alright, is it? Oh, she's listening, you mean?
She's at home today.
But it's probably alright now, isn't it? Because a bad hair day, it doesn't
last. Yeah, but it'll be nice. been all nice and that today.
You're scared of it, aren't you?
No. I mean, I don't want to-
You've learned your- Oh, you've learned your lesson that, you know, you can't talk about people like that, because it upsets them.
Well, plus, I can't do it all now, because we're doing Pulp Fiction later, and it sort of involves her head. So-
Brilliant! So let's- Excellent, there's me thinking that you're being considerate.
Yeah.
All worried about-
You don't want to use up the material until later.
Play record! Travis, beautiful occupation. What's the best job you've ever had still, Carl? Talk about occupations. It is still
paper round.
Is it still the paper round?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
No, it was good though. If you look at it, like, you know what I liked about it, you're your own boss.
No, you're not. You're not your own boss.
No,
the news agents is your boss.
All right, but then once you get out and you've got your papers and that, you sort of you're on your
Do
own.
Do you want as long as you deliver the papers exactly to the places he said you are in the time he said?
Yeah,
it's freedom, isn't it? Any jobs you wouldn't do? I've just thought of one that you wouldn't do.
Go on.
With your sort of mild homophobia.
Well, I'm not.
Proctologist.
What's that?
Basically sticking your finger at other people's arses.
Right, well, I wouldn't do that, no. Why have you got to do that?
What do you mean, why have you got to do
well,
that?
Why does anyone need that doing?
Does they got to look if they've got an arse ache or something?
Which trainee doctor makes that their speciality?
Do you know what I mean? That must be, right, we got a place for apologies, and it's you, Meadows. You came last.
Oh, seriously, what? I'm not the arse doctor, am I?
Yeah, you came last.
Oh, I'm a bum GP, I can't
believe it. You got oh, I can't believe this.
Yeah.
That must be it, mustn't it?
Well, presumably no one would choose it, no one would, purely, if they can have the brain surgery,
What if you were brilliant but you were shy, you couldn't look people in the face?
Yeah.
You can be, you could do anything you want, you know, just don't want to look at them, I just want to do their arses.
Yeah.
Really? Just want to do the arses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at Carl's face! You didn't know there was such a thing as an arse doctor, did you?
No, not really. Specialised, he does nothing all day but that.
Well, he probably has a sandwich about 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
Washes his hands. What do you mean he does nothing all day but that? You don't say that about a brain surgeon, a thoracic surgeon, do you?
No, but that all day. That's not good, is it?
I love the fact that I can blow his mind!
Yeah.
It's just things that people take for granted. A dentist just looks in mouths all day.
Yeah, but that's a bum job.
Just think of that. Oh.
So what do you need to know then there?
It's a lot, to know.
You gotta have nice nails.
Yeah.
No rough edges.
Well, you'd be alright, because you've got that job and no biscuits to the old people because you had nice hands, didn't you?
So, yeah. And I know a lot about biscuits. I know my biscuits.
Do you?
Yeah, I know which ones they like and that.
Do you? What do they like? What do old people like?
Bourbons. Rich
Do they really? Because that's my least favourite. I would never eat a bourbon. I could be starving and I wouldn't eat a bourbon.
If you want to let us know what your favourite biscuit is, email in.
But I'll tell you what, some with all them eating biscuits, I bet they get arse problems, don't they? So you could double up, couldn't you? You could be handing out biscuits in the morning and checking out.
So why would you go and have that done then? What sort of problems then?
What do you mean? Loads of problems.
Like what?
Prostate.
And they've got to go there. They have to like have a little, you know. Problem.
Well, there was that. I told you that story. That bloke. It's not an apocryphal tale because it's about an orderly's report, and this is the bloke that filled out the form of what happened. He went into hospital basically with a sauce bottle up his arse, and on the report, he said obviously, you know, pleasuring himself using a sauce bottle, and on the report he had to fill out, he said that he'd been shopping at Safeways, and he'd come in with his shopping, and he'd forgot his key, so he'd put his bags down on the step, right, and he started climbing up the drain pipe to get in, right, but as he was climbing up, his trousers and pants fell down. He slipped and fell, and the sauce bottle went up his arse. And the orderly said this story would be somewhat believable if Safeway sold their sauce bottles with condoms already attached.
That's like a game of Kaplunk.
So he put. I love that he put a condom on it. I wonder if that was so he didn't want to get an infection from it, or he wanted to use it on his chips later. So waste not, want not.
Talking of arse. Yeah. Blockbusters. we should give those clues again because we're not getting many right responses here. Let's give them once more.
Oh, you know what I think? Because the mentalists out there get his clues and they're rubbish. So I think his clue must be so way off.
I know.
That it's something wrong. Do you know what a pun is, don't you? You can't change the word. You can't have, he's bald and he rides a bike. Who's that? Bicycle Stipe. That doesn't count. It's got to be Michael Stipe for it to be correct. It's got to be Michael Stipe, yeah?
Alright, well, we've got, the most we've had, we've got two right, right? So,
let's hear the clues again. Right.
First one was, I'm going to the Northeast. What are you going there for? S. It's a band or an artist that starts with S, right? I'm going to the Northeast. What are you going there for? Second one, she's related to the man in the lamp. Right? That's G. Band or an artist. The last one. The Jamaican fellow would love to live there. It's a bit pricey though. Right? D-S.
Right? D-S.
D-S. Email in or text in.
ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
Or on the text, 83xfm. Right?
Dylan's of course playing in London this week.
Yeah.
And,
good luck to him.
Classic. Bob Dylan, It's All Over Now, Baby Blue from 1960-something.
Bit of trivia for you, Steve.
Go on.
That is the last record we ever played on the old XFM before we were fired.
I bet that was a moving moment for about 8 people.
I just thought of something. You know that thing we did about, they said that we just cared about the money selling it to America?
Yeah.
If we cared about money,
yeah,
would we be here now? Absolutely. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
I think this proves that we don't do things for the money.
Exactly.
Jesus. Alright, Carl?
Couple of emails. Monkey Matt's emailed us.
Who?
Monkey Matt.
Oh, Matty, yeah, go on. Yeah.
He says,
how's the monkster?
He's alright. He says, Carl has missed a cracking headline from the sport. Hide and seek champion found dead in cupboard. I hope it's real. I don't know if it is.
I doubt it.
Just looking through some of the news stories that Carl did make it into Carl's news roundup.
Yeah.
Just this one you might be interested in. Headline, woman says partner ran off to become vampire.
Yeah.
And it says, a young mother says her partner has dumped her to become a vampire. Rebecca Roberts from Somerset says Matthew Barrett fell for a blood-worshipping woman in a US cult. The 23-year-old mother says he began shaving all his body hair, dressed in black, and used Rebecca's lipstick to redden his eyes. Rebecca caught him performing weird blood rituals in front of his computer at night, cutting himself to prove commitment. She said, I thought it was just a hobby. Everyone's got a right to one. I was pleased he'd found an interest.
Brilliant.
This is apparently from The Sun. Apparently he's left. He's gone to America. He's living in this Ohio-based cult. But it's the last bit where she's been asked whether or not if he came back, would she take him back?
Sure.
And this is where I wonder if the journalist, you know how journalists are supposed to just report the news, be objective.
Yeah.
I wonder if maybe the journalist here has maybe had some interference.
Made the quote better for
possibly,
them than, go on.
Because it says, I never thought this would take over his life. Now, if he came back, I'd say fangs, but no fangs.
But oh dear!
I can't believe. Imagine you're the woman, Rick.
Okay.
And I've come round.
You're the journalist.
I'm the journalist, and I've come in and I've said, okay, I read about this.
All I have to do is not say that thing.
You've come. I understand you're obviously quite upset.
Yeah.
It's gone
gutted.
Off. If he came back, would you take him back?
Definitely not.
Right.
Really.
What would you say to him then if he came back?
Just get lost.
Right, but I know.
I'm really pissed off with you.
Would you perhaps say something a bit more pithy?
Not in this situation, no.
You're upset?
He cuts himself, he drinks blood, he's left me.
Sure,
no,
sure, sod off.
I'm not interested, mate.
Because I'll tell you what.
Go on.
I mean, I like what you said there, but I wonder if we could condense that a bit more. If he came back, would you say-
Go away.
Would you say something, would you ever say something like, thanks, but no thanks?
No, because that sounds, it makes it flippant, because I'm really angry.
I know you're annoyed.
And I'm upset, so I wouldn't say, I certainly wouldn't say thanks. I'd say, I might say no thanks.
But what if you sort of said it, like, aggressively, like, you were giving him the finger, thanks, but no thanks? Like, you didn't really mean it.
Sort of sarcastically?
Sarcastically, would you possibly say
I might say, thanks, but no thanks, and that'd be it. And that's, and I'd leave it there, I'd never change that.
Sure.
I'd never change those words.
Can I ask you a question?
Go on.
Do you like puns?
Hate them.
Right.
I don't like Countdown, I don't like QI, I don't like any of those posh Cambridge, Oxford type. I hate puns.
If you had to say thanks but no thanks in the form of a pun, what would you maybe say?
I wouldn't. I never would.
Right.
I'd say thanks but no thanks. I would, you know, I mean, I feel embarrassed that I'd even say that because I don't think I would even say thanks but no thanks.
Okay.
But if I did go that far, I'd leave it there.
Sure. Sure.
So.
Have you ever noticed, as I have-
Go on.
The similarity between the word thanks and fangs?
Not really.
It's any, very similar.
Not
thanks,
really.
Fangs,
F,
fangs.
T, H, there's a K.
Fangs very much.
G, it's A and S, well the A, the N and the S, but that's about
Would
it.
Would you agree it sounds marginally similar?
Yeah,
sort Is
of.
It possible you might one day say fangs but no fangs?
I wouldn't know.
Right. I could put that though, could I?
But don't say it, I said it.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Fangs but no fangs.
Yeah. This is the thing, just, if you ever read an article in The Sun, The Mirror, anything, do not believe it. Really seriously question and query it, because-
If it ends with fangs, no fangs.
If it ends with a pun, yeah. Almost certainly they never said it.
Feeder. You know what? I'm annoyed at now, right? We've got another ad break coming up. How many ad breaks have we had in this show?
I know.
Carl, how many ad breaks have we had in this show?
It's only about three an hour. Three or four an hour.
Three or four an hour. So I've got 3 minutes. So, 20 minutes. 20 minutes is wasted on shite. I mean, apart from the stuff we talk
about.
Well,
it's funny you should say that, because, someone said to me last week that they felt that there were more adverts now on the show than there used to be.
Are there more adverts
on the
show?
Rick, I think, though, I think, just checking some of the emails, I think that's because people are requesting them. They find them more entertaining than what we're giving them.
But, can't we sort this out?
Well, don't go on about it.
No, can't we, though? Why can't we have less? Why have we got so many? Is it-
What happens, doesn't it?
Ah, oh, well no, you can't listen to the radio in every, after every record. It's bad enough trying to keep them listening with the rubbish we come out with.
Yeah, we've got Rockbusters here, let's get them back.
Right, come on then. Right, has anyone got all three?
No.
No, right, okay, so there's some- I'm gonna ban Rockbusters. Cause, okay, go on then, what are the clues again? Tell me the answers.
Well, give us the ones that they did get.
Alright, well they did get, she's related to the man in the lamp.
What's that?
That was G.
That was Genesis.
Right?
Genesis?
Like Genesis. So, the sister of the genie. Genesis. Genesis. They got that one.
No. What's the band's name?
Genesis.
No, Genesis. Say the band name. Genesis. Right, okay. Well, I don't get it. Because genie is nothing like that.
Well, they did. So don't worry about it. Stop worrying about the ads. Stop worrying about that. Right? The third one was, the Jamaican fella would love to live there.
Go on.
But it's a little bit pricey.
Go on.
Right?
That what was the initial?
DS. Deer Streets.
What?
Right? It's a Deer Street to live on.
Deer Streets? Oh yeah, I haven't heard of them. They're banned.
That's Dire Straits.
No, it's not Dire Straits! It's not Dire Straits! Deer Streets!
The Jamaican fella.
Go on, then. Go on, make it sound like that.
Like Deer Streets. Deer Streets.
Dire Do it again. Straits. No, still not. Keep going. I haven't got it yet. Go on.
Deer Streets.
Deer Streets.
They got that one as well, so.
Alright, well, let's hear the one they did.
Can I do an impression of a Jamaican fella saying Dire Straits?
Right.
Dire Straits.
The first
it's not
one,
the same!
The first one they struggled with was, I'm going to the northeast. What are you going there for?
Well, you know, when you say struggled with, no one got this.
No one got it.
Go on then.
Didn't even attempt it.
Okay, go on, the northeast. What?
I'm going to the northeast. What are you going there for? Seal.
Seal? What?
Hull's up in the northeast.
Hull is, yeah, sea hull, yeah.
Yeah, so
I haven't heard of them either.
Is that a seal, right? So that works.
Who's seal?
Seal.
Oh, seal? Yeah. What's that got to do with the north, though?
Seal. That's the way I'd say it, isn't it?
Okay, that's the end of Rockbusters.
Unbelievable.
That's the end of Rockbusters.
I can't believe we even brought it back, Rick.
Right? I'm serious, that's the end of Rockbusters.
Can I be honest with you?
Go on.
I'd love to hear some adverts now instead of that.
Well,
so would I. That is, adverts are better than that.
Yeah. I'm just saying, Laura.
Doesn't matter.
Laura's
fine.
The one with
well
one,
done, Laura.
Right? She
well
only
done,
got
Laura.
Two, but we'll give her that.
Yeah, just play the so, ads. I'm right. Actually looking forward to the ads.
Really looking forward to my other phone.
Black Rebel Motorcycle Club. We're all in love on XFM 104.9. Sorry about, Rockbusters. That's the end of it, definitely. Cause it was dreadful. Do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean, Steve?
Yeah.
It's quite funny, but that was awful.
I mean, we've apologised for that quiz so many times.
I know, we've given it, I think it's two
people
comebacks.
Like it though, don't they?
No, they people don't like it. They don't like it, cause
people
it's
like it,
that's two, that's, people, no, that's the end of that. Less adverts next week, sort that out.
Yeah.
Cause it's just, it's awful, 20 minutes of adverts. Do you know what I mean? It's not what people listen for. So, Right, redeem yourself. Have you got the film thing you're in?
Right, yeah, I'm in a film. It's Pulp Fiction this week.
Right.
Right. Changed it a little bit, tweaked the storyline a little bit.
Okay.
It's just
to make it better, yeah.
It's just a do you know how I've talked about Suzanne's hair and that?
Yeah.
About when she got it cut, didn't like it and that.
Yeah.
So it's sort of about that. Listen to it, there'll be a question at the end. You can win some good stuff.
Yeah, well.
Right. So, and this is the scene where they're in the restaurant, do you know, when they're about to do yeah. The robbery.
Yeah,
right. Except it's not a restaurant, change that, it's a barber's.
Right.
Alright?
Okay.
Alright.
God.
There you go then.
Is there gonna be a question after this?
Yeah. Stay there. Okay.
Alright. Girlfriend came in here earlier, had a haircut, I'm not happy with it, look at the state of that. Well, don't laugh. Yeah? I mean, I don't want to cause any fuss, but just want you to sort it out.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
Well, you can do that, because it looks a mess.
Look, my friend, this is just where you and I differ.
Well, you've got to do something, because look at it. When she came through the front door at home, I thought Dave Hill out of Slade had walked in.
Funny, I was thinking the same thing.
Look, I don't want to cause any problems or anything. She hasn't even seen it properly yet. She sort of had it cut and came straight home and didn't look at it. Suzanne, just look in that mirror. Look what they've done to your head.
God damn it, what is it?
Suzanne!
We're not going to do anything stupid, are we?
I'm the manager here. There's no problem.
What do you mean it's not a problem? Look at the state of her hair.
Be calm, cooperate, and this will all be over in a minute.
I'm going to go home.
Well, we're not going anywhere until they've sorted your hair out. I'm not walking home with you, with your hair like that. It's embarrassing. So let's just get it...
You die.
No, forget having it die. Just get it cut. Colour's not a problem. Just sort it out. Just get rid of...
Let's see what we can do.
Right. Good. Look at it. Look at the state of it.
I'm trying real hard.
Suzanne, just keep your head still there so we can...
Just hang in there, baby. You're doing great. I'm proud of you.
Just sort that bit out there. Just cut that. My barber says I've got the hair of a Chinaman. Have you heard that before? What? What's so funny about that? Is it serious or what? Freaking me out.
If my answers frighten you, you should cease asking scary questions. It's almost over.
There you go.
No, it's not brilliant, but I'll have to do, won't it? I reckon we'll have to buy her a hat on the way home.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Do you think Suzanne's listening?
It's all right, isn't it?
I like the fact... I like the fact that in that she's represented with a sort of dimwit southern accent.
Yeah.
Your girlfriend. So I'm sure she'll have appreciated that.
Oh,
it was
well.
Nice, yeah. It was a nice. I don't know what kind of copyright infringements that was made.
Yeah.
But,
right, well, the question is, what did I say is odd about my hair?
Odd about your hair?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, right. Yeah. Fans of the show will know that already, I'm sure.
Yeah. So, email in, ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk, or, yeah, just email, actually.
Yeah.
Bud.
Right.
Yeah. You can win some tat. The usual address.
That is a beautiful record.
Yeah, this is Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen, as recorded by Badly Drawn Boy. You'll enjoy it. Good job. Badly Drawn Boy doing his version of Bruce Springsteen's Thunder Road.
Good effort.
FM 104.9. Tricky song to do a good version of, but not bad.
Good effort.
Not bad.
Badly.
Tell you what, who's also made a good effort.
Go on.
Stephen Gunning of Tooting, he's correctly identified that Carl's hair is like that of a Chinaman's.
Or it was.
Yeah, many other people have emailed in saying, how can we know what your hair's like, because you are a bold mank
twat. Yeah.
So people have correctly...
Is our language okay on this show, in general?
I've told you that, you know, to be careful on that.
Yeah, why don't you try putting some effort into it as you get Mondays off for this 2 hours? You come up with rockbuster clue that no one can get because it was impossible, it wasn't even a clue.
Oh, yeah. I've got your headlines. I've done Pulp Fiction, right? I taught you about that fella, the builder fella, and his eyes and that.
You don't even know what you're talking about. You don't even know what you've taught me. It's sort of like you borrow information. It's like one of those things that, you know, what are those things called, read write once, read many. He can just pass it on, and then it's yeah. One of those CDs you can just play once.
But it struck me
that is you and information. It goes in. You tell someone once, it's like you've lost it. It's like you've. It's like pass the parcel with knowledge. It's gone now. You don't even remember what you told me.
A chain letter.
What?
Just you mean chain letter, don't we?
Shut up. It struck me when we were listening to his phone call to you at the very beginning of the show. I don't know if you might have missed that, but basically it was a message that Carl left for Ricky. But about halfway through that message, there was the feeling, I don't know if you noticed, but like the words started to fall apart. It was like he wasn't going to make it. Every time Carl opens his mouth, it's the equivalent of walking across one of those rickety bridges in Indiana Jones. That you might not make it to the other side.
Yeah. Oh, look at him.
Anyway, we've had a few laughs and we've had a few insults.
Yeah, so we're trying to sort of really, honestly, I'll try and sort out something else as opposed to Rockbusters next week.
Mm-hmm.
Less adverts, I think.
Ideally.
What else?
Oh, better chat, better music, better presenters.
No, come on.
We got rid of Monkey News.
Is there no Monkey News?
No, it's gone on this week.
Don't talk, there must be some Monkey News. It's not like it's real news. You tell us stories about chimps from the 18th century. It's not. Don't give me nothing happened this week. You just didn't look at the internet.
Did look.
And there's no news. Nothing happened.
There was one little bit of monkey news about how you can now buy tea that's been picked by little chimps because it tastes good.
Right.
That's what they're saying.
Right. Why does it taste good? What do they do to it?
I don't know. It just annoyed me.
Is it those chimps from the PG Tip thing?
Well, that's the annoying thing.
Are they dressed up, having funny conversations?
Well,
like,
that's
in
the thing. Everyone made a fuss about, you know, that's cruel making them pick a piano up.
Yeah.
If I was a chimp, I know what job I'd prefer.
Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Doing removals rather than standing in a field picking tea and that.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he probably thought that was a documentary.
Yeah.
He thought it was there, a trailer for a Channel 4 programme.
Alright, we'll be back next
week. I've got a little treat for them. Right, that winner of the DVD, watch the behind-the-scenes footage, because you see Carl's little round head. So, they're enjoying that. Who won that, by the way? We've given that away, haven't we?
Yeah, we forget what it was.
It's gone.
Don't bother watching the rest of the stand-up, though. It's a bit poor. Leave you with 50 Cent outfit.
Fiddy, I called him Fiddy. Fiddy,
yeah.
I called him Fiddy Cent.
Back next week.
Fiddy. 101.